May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 232. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Hymn 232.
Thank you. the holy word of God. We shall read from the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, reading part of chapter 1, part of chapter 2, and then chapter 3. The book of Exodus, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. If we now turn to chapter 2, from verse 23. Chapter 2, commencing at verse 23, and we shall continue into chapter 3. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name for ever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring up you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favour in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbour, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy and almighty Lord God, oh, have mercy upon us, we pray, and look down in mercy as we gather here on this morning hour of thy day, professedly to worship thee. O Lord, that we might so worship God in the Spirit, to worship thee aright from our hearts. O Lord, save us from that religion which cometh short, from that of the foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamps, no grace in their hearts, though the outward appearance was the same as the wise virgins. Yet what a vital difference there was. Lord, oh, do remember us as we gather here. And, oh, Lord, do be pleased to grant to us that sweet sense of thy felt presence. For, Lord, how true it is that without thee we can do nothing. Oh, how we need thee to come. Oh, Lord, how we need thee to quicken, enliven, awaken, for none can keep alive his own soul. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon this garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and take of his pleasant fruits. O Lord Jesus, come, we beseech thee, into this corner of thy vineyard, into this garden, and do favour us with thy presence. O Lord, thou knowest how each and every one has come. Thou, Lord, lookest upon the heart, the motives, the intent of the heart, the desires, the burdens, the griefs. Thou beholdest our down sittings and our uprisings. Thou, God, seest me. through and through. Lord, those who have come prayerfully, all those who have come seeking Jesus, those who have come seeking that word in season, oh Lord, those who have come begging for mercy, pardon, forgiveness, those who have come longing to hear thy voice and to view thee by the eye of faith, who have come we would see Jesus, but mine eyes are up unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Those who have come feeling so unworthy, so undeserving, feeling to be such great sinners, and yet to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, all those who have come seeking that crumb from under the Master's table, or that crumb of mercy that has fallen from that same bread, O Lord, who feed thy people here, compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away. O Lord, may none go home as they have come. Or but may there be a portion for seven and also for eight. Lord, remember the eighth soul. Or the one who feels to be so burdened, so cast down, so troubled, so dejected. Or that one who feels to be so unworthy, so sinful, so hard-hearted. And yet, Lord, has come hoping against hope. Who can tell? Oh, Lord, oh, remember that eighth soul, so longing for thy help, thy appearance, thy blessing. Dear Lord, oh, remember each praying soul, those in soul trouble, those in providential trouble, those cast down by the hardness of the way, those who need thy help, thy blessing. O dear Lord, O Lord, remember them each, we pray. And Lord, if any have come prayerlessly, indifferently, oh, could it please thee to touch their hearts? Oh, may the north wind, as it were, blow into their souls, to awaken, to quicken. Oh, Lord, and oh, could it please thee to call them by thy grace? Oh, Lord, to have mercy upon them. And though they came prayerlessly, or may they go prayerfully, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, we would remember the dear little ones, the babes, the children, the young people growing up into life. Or have mercy upon them each. They grow up in a very dark, evil, wicked day and generation. Lord, we humbly beseech of thee to implant thy holy fear deep into their hearts and bring that fear into exercise. Oh, that they all might be taught of the Lord, taught their need of salvation, taught their need to be saved, taught their need of a Saviour, taught their need of a precious Jesus, who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Lord, remember them in their schools, colleges, or at university, or in the workplace, and do keep them from the wicked ways and influences of others, both children and teachers. Oh, hedge up their ways. Conduct them in thy fear. Oh, Lord, do remember them in their studies, in their lessons, and also concerning their friendships. Oh, Lord, remember parents also, and grant all needed wisdom, grace, and understanding to bring our children up aright, to train them up in the way in which they should go. And do remember all in the midst of life, the many cares, burdens, responsibilities. Oh, Lord, those in business. Oh, Lord, those who so need thy help, that wisdom which cometh from above. Oh, to walk humbly, uprightly in this evil, corrupt generation to which our lot has been cast. Remember older friends also. Lord, bless them in their latter days. Draw near to them. Comfort their hearts. O Lord, as it have pleased thee to remove by death one from the midst here, remember the grieving, mourning people here in their loss, in their sadness. O Lord, comfort each mourning heart. O do sanctify these things. O Lord, and may the death of one prove to be the life of another. O Lord, remember thy people here. Bless them in the church with peace, brotherly love, unity, harmony. And could it yet please thee to add unto them such as shall be saved? Lord, and in the congregation also, oh, bless each one. And Lord, could it yet please thee to draw others in also, to constrain them in, if need be, to compel them in. And Lord, any that may have gone forth from this people into the world, seeking to have their fill of the world and the things of the world, O Lord, mercifully send that famine into their land and bring them into want and cause them to remember their father's house and cause them to return. Lord, do remember thy servants, those who come here to preach thy gospel. From time to time may they come as the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message. With thus saith the Lord, and do bless thy word here. Prosper thy word here. O Lord, send forth thy word with such power to pull down the stronghold of Satan, to establish and build up thy kingdom in the hearts of thy dear people. O let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Lord, what we pray for here, we would pray for each cause of truth, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever a people meet together around thy word. And we think of our own cause at Salville. Lord, be with them there, especially this morning. The young deacon, in taking the service there, Lord, help him. And, O Lord, remember thy servants, labouring up and down the land, indeed, throughout the whole earth. O, bless their labours. O, Lord, bless thy word. Do help us now as we return to thy word. Shine upon it, dear Lord, we pray, that we may see light in thy light. O, do forgive us our every sin. Ever wash us in Jesus' precious blood. Ever bring us to that fountain opened, open for sin and for uncleanness. O, where we would be washed and cleansed. Oh, to be a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood. Now, Lord, send help, we pray. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the needs of the preacher, the needs of the hearer. Oh, Lord, may it be, but my God shall supply all your needs, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. Hymn 297.
in complete and utter dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the book of Exodus, chapter 2, and these opening words in verse 24. And God heard their groaning. The book of Exodus, chapter 2, and these opening words in verse 24. And God heard their groaning. They being the children of Israel, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They who had been in Egypt for about 430 years. Once it was just Joseph who was a prisoner in Egypt. Now all the children of Israel, as we read, were brought up in the time of Joseph. At that time for their deliverance. But now all these many, many years later, a different king. And just let us bear in mind the distance of time, 430 years would put us back to 1581. A very, very long time. Once the Egyptians had respected the children of Israel, but now they despise them. Now, in that sense, they feared them, as we read, lest they should continue to multiply and increase in number and turn against the Egyptians to thrust them out of their own land. But now, that current Pharaoh, oh, he brings about these burdens, the taskmasters. He brings the children of Israel into bondage, into hard labor. The dear children of Israel. Oh, what a sad, what a trying, what a difficult life they must have lived. Hard labor, no doubt, from morning till night. No respite, no rest. There they were, sorrowing, grieved, troubled. No way of escape, no way of deliverance. And God heard their groaning. I'm sure they didn't feel that God heard their groaning. They could not see what was going on, if I can put it this way, behind the scenes. Those many miles away in that wilderness, in the backside of the desert, where the Lord was preparing, teaching, equipping, raising up one who should be their deliverer, one who should bring them forth out of Egypt, even dear Moses. He himself was one of the children of Israel. And though, as I'm sure all of us here would know, that there he was in the court, the palace of Pharaoh's daughter, those 40 years. And really, what caused him to flee into the wilderness? Well, it was the words of one of the children of Israel. When Moses saw two of them striving together and sought to part them and bring peace about, one of them said, "Will ye so judge us as thou dealt with the Egyptian yesterday?" And dear Moses, fearing that news should reach Pharaoh, he had to escape for his life. And I'm sure during those years in the wilderness, as a shepherd leading the flock, And remember, he was there 40 years. I don't believe he ever expected to return to Egypt, and certainly not to bring the children of Israel out. We often wonder what dear Moses may have had to pass through, endure, witness, as the Lord taught and equipped him for this great calling that he was to be given. And as we read that time when the Lord appeared to him, that set time, that time of God's appointment to send Moses back into Egypt for this one specific reason, to bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And remember, not just out of Egypt, but into the promised land. And God heard their groaning. We have, under the Old Testament dispensation, spiritual truths in types and in shadows. And in Egypt, we would see this wicked world, this world of sin. In Pharaoh, we would see Satan, the prince of the power of the air. In the taskmasters, we would see those worldly people who ever seek to afflict and trouble and persecute the Lord's dear people. And of course, in the children of Israel, we would see there, spiritually, the Lord's dear people. In every day, in every age, in every generation of all kindreds, nation, tribe and tongue, the Lord's chosen people, my sheep, my elect, my redeemed. And God heard their groaning. Oh, when the Lord begins that work of grace in the hearts of his dear people, the Lord begins to teach them. The Lord awakens them. Awakens them to the truth concerning eternity. To the truth concerning their own hearts. To the truth concerning God himself. To the truth concerning his holy commandments. To the truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, it is an easy thing to say, to repeat parrot-like fashion, that all have sinned. But oh, to feel it personally. When that arrow of conviction enters into one's heart, that arrow of conviction that one cannot extract, cannot remove, when the Lord causes that wound, that severe wound, which we cannot heal, or which we cannot find any cure for, or that terrible, terrible malady of sin. Oh, don't we live in such awful, dark, evil days when sin is counted as a light, easy, trivial thing? Anyone who is brought, as the Lord so teaches them, to that sight, in measure, of course, of the holiness and majesty and power of Almighty God will but tremble before him, as we read, I am that I am. How dear Moses trembled before God, trembled before the holy majesty of God. And I do believe when the Lord begins that work of grace in the hearts of his dear people, he brings them to realize in measure concerning his holiness, his majesty, but also the Lord teaches his people again in measure, but of a truth, somewhat concerning themselves as sinners, that they have sinned against this holy, pure, just God. And also the Lord teaches them the truth of his word. We each have before us the holy word of God, the holy Bible. The Lord's revealed will unto his dear people. And again, the world will say whatever it will against the word of God. They will try to trample the word of God under their feet. But to the Lord's dear people, my sheep, hear my voice. And the Lord teaches them the truth, the absolute truth of his word, the truth of his commandments, the truth of his law, the truth that all have sinned, and the truth personally, when a soul is brought to see, to feel, to know, to grieve against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Now to such souls who have been taught by the Holy Spirit, whose office it is to awaken the dead elect, and you have he quickened who were once dead in trespasses and in sins. But being awakened, oh awakened, to know oneself as a lost, ruined, guilty, vile sinner, brought to understand that the heart is deceitful against all things and desperately wicked, when the arrow of conviction comes in, like Nathan spake unto David, thou art the man. Yes, David was quite ready to point the finger at another. And so left to ourselves, oh, it's too easy to point the finger at another to say, that one's a sinner, that one's a sinner. But when that arrow of conviction enters into our heart, when it's God's finger pointing straight into our hearts, thou art the man. Oh, that soul trembles, trembles before Almighty God. And God heard their groaning. Such souls will be found groaning, groaning over their lost state and condition, groaning because they believe in heaven, and they believe in hell, because the word of God speaks so clearly concerning this. Groaning because they know they deserve to be cast into hell. Groaning because they believe in eternity, because the word of God speaks concerning eternity. Groaning because they know they deserve to be cast into hell eternally. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. I believe we mentioned in prayer concerning that parable of the wise and foolish virgins. To me, that is one of the most searching and solemn of the parables the Lord Jesus spake. To all outward appearance, those virgins looked exactly the same, nothing to distinguish one from another. And they all had that profession wherein they desired to marry the bridegroom. And yet we read five were wise, five were foolish. Five had oil, five had not. And so often in the Word of God we find oil as a type speaking of grace. So we could say five had grace in their hearts and five did not. And God heard their groaning. Those souls taught by the Holy Spirit will of necessity, being the Spirit's work, be blessed with grace in their hearts. And yet so often we find those precious souls with grace in their hearts are those who are found groaning. It is those who do not have grace in their hearts who do not fear to presume. Indeed, live upon their presumption that they are right. They've got all the outward appearance. They come to a place of worship. They do this. They do not that. All these things have I kept from my youth up. Surely God will look upon me with respect because of what I have done and also of what I have not done. No groaning there. Again, the Lord Jesus spoke of those two who went up to the temple to pray. But only one prayed. One prayed within himself. And he could boast unto God of what he had done. He could boast of his goodness, his self-righteousness, his obedience. He could look down upon others. No groaning there. No groaning to be heard. No petitions. Oh, but the difference in that other one. And how the Lord Jesus speaks concerning him of how he could not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Such was his grief, his sorrow. He smote upon his breast, where lodgeth that deceitful, wicked heart. And his prayer. His prayer didn't come out of feigned lips. His prayer came from his heart. That broken heart. That broken, contrite spirit. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God heard their groaning. Really, I believe the Lord brings all of his dear people there. To that prayer of that dear publican. Or to the same place as that dear publican who could not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. But had to look down with sorrow, with trouble, with guilt. Smiting upon their breasts. Crying out from their hearts. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, is the one who has come to the house of God this morning. And really, this is how you have come. You've come groaning. Oh, you've come groaning because of your state, your condition. Oh, you feel to be a sinner. A great sinner. A terrible sinner, a corrupt sinner. Like did David, against thee only have I sinned. And God heard their groaning.
And yet you say, but I keep coming up to the house of God, groaning, mourning, begging, longing, looking, waiting, but still no answers. Still no answers of peace. Still no, as it were, hope in the Lord's mercy. As it was to the children of Israel. They could not see Moses being prepared. And really here in type we have Moses as a type of Christ. For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save all his people from their sins. A mighty and an able Saviour. Now let us come a little further. These groaning souls, mourning souls, all because they're sinners. These souls are taught clearly. They need a Saviour. What must I do to be saved? Where must I flee? Where must I go or whither flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? The world, the unbeliever, the carnal professor of religion can talk lightly concerning hell, but not so that one is taught of God, who fears and trembles concerning a never-ending eternity. I may have said this here before, but to me, one of the most solemn things concerning hell, not so much the pain, the anguish, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, the agonies and so on. But it's a place where neither hope nor mercy can come. You know, when this world shall end, and one day it will end, the throne of grace will be shut. It will be finished. The Lord Jesus will then sit upon the throne of judgment. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, for judgment. And God heard their groaning. A groaning over their state and condition. But their groaning to be delivered, to be redeemed, to be saved. And as the Holy Spirit continues to teach and instruct those souls in their groaning, so he leads them by faith unto a precious Jesus, that they are found groaning after him, sighing after him, believing that he and he only is able to save their souls. Yes, able to save their souls from sin, from death, and from hell. And God heard their groaning. All these groaning souls who so long to be right with God, who so long to be real Christians. Oh, what a clear, distinct difference there is upon one professing the name of Christian and one who really is a Christian. Real religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And God heard their groaning. Something known and felt there. Oh, their groaning to be right with God. Their groaning to know their sins forgiven. Oh, their groaning to know their iniquities pardoned, their transgressions covered over. Oh, their groaning for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. And God heard their groaning.
the end of, in the next chapter, chapter 3, the end of verse 7 and the beginning of verse 8, it's so beautiful. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. You were singing in that second hymn that grace shall surely be tried. Dear friend, if you haven't got any grace, then it can't be tried. We wonder how you sung that hymn. It's the same with faith. If you do not have any faith, then that faith cannot be tried. Oh, but those precious souls, blessed with that grace, blessed with that faith, these will be praying souls. Oh, but does one say, I don't feel to be a praying soul. My prayers are so poor, so weak, so faint, so full of unbelief. My prayers are not answered, so I fear they're not real prayers at all. Perhaps the children of Israel could have said exactly the same. At this time, they could not see their deliverance, they could not see their redemption. They could not see our text, and God heard their groaning. Oh, that the Lord hears the groans of his dear people, who groan concerning themselves, their wicked hearts, their sins, their troubles. And God heard their groaning. But that time did come. Moses did go back to Egypt. The Lord Jesus did come into this world. Moses did bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so will the Lord Jesus bring all his dear people out of this world and unto him. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Where the Lord gives saving grace, the Lord will also give sanctifying grace. And these precious souls, being taught of the Lord, taught their need of salvation, taught their need of a Saviour, will be taught their need of Jesus, and by faith will flee to him. You see, as we mentioned earlier, it wasn't just that Moses would bring them out of Egypt, but that he would bring them into the promised land. I know as it was that Joshua brought them into the promised land, but even there's a beautiful thought there, Joshua meaning Jesus. So the Lord Jesus will ever bring his dear people out of this wicked world. Yes, there is that wilderness journey to be travelled. The Lord's people are but pilgrims here, venturing to New Zion, New Jerusalem. And he led them forth by the right way. The Lord will ever lead his people forth by the right way. A way of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Looking unto Jesus. That's the right way. And God heard their groaning. Or is there some here this morning? Your life is one of groaning. Cast down by the hardness of the way. Everything going wrong. Nothing going right. Or still you groan in. You feel your poor prayers. But your poor prayers do not seem to be answered. You fear that they're not heard. Or you fear in the difficulties and the burdens and the hardness of the way, your unbelieving heart. And God heard their groaning.
being so cast down, so troubled, so bewildered, we wonder why. Why has the Lord permitted this? Why has the Lord permitted that? Why has the Lord not opened this door for me? And God heard their groaning. And he led them forth by the right way. And how we need to be taught that the Lord's way is the right way. That our way so often is the wrong way. Our way would be into bypath meadow. Our way would be an easier way. Our way would be a less tried way. Our way would be where grace is not tried. And God heard their groaning. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. What sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Like the dear apostle who cried out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And God heard their groaning. I thank God through Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, still is only hope of the mercy of God was found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be sinners until our dying day. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. What shall you see in a Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. And only those who know something of the new man of grace, know something of that warfare, something of the fight of faith. The worldling, the carnal professor of religion, knows nothing of his warfare, because he knows nothing of the two armies. Nothing of the new man of grace. And God heard their groaning. That the Lord ever hears the groans, the sighs of his dear people. Those times and places where we feel so troubled, so in the dark, like the dear psalmist, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. We think also of Joseph in the prison. We read concerning the iron that he was in. I believe in the margin it reads that iron entered into his soul. And how dear Joseph, in the most mysterious providence of God, was in that dungeon, in that terrible prison. All these things are against me, said his dear father, but also so surely did dear Joseph. Why? And God heard their groaning. Oh, there are times, I believe, when the child of God is so cast down and so troubled and tried, he hardly knows how to utter a prayer. He hardly knows how to put into a sentence his very thoughts, his petitions. Not that he wouldn't pray, he just doesn't feel able to pray. His prayer is more of a groan. O Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest the way that I take. Did not Job say that? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And God heard their groaning. Now, finally, very briefly, I feel burdened to bring this before you. A very, very, very different type of groaning. How many groaned this morning because Sunday had come again? How many groaned because they had to go to chapel, the house of God? How many are groaning because they want the things of the world, the lusts of the flesh. They want things lighter, easier. Why can't we have things which the world has? And God heard their groaning. These restrictions, these things placed upon us. Why this? Why that? Later on in the wilderness journey, the children of Israel spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, that manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now a warning, if the Lord has hedged up your way. We read, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, he that breaketh through an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. You've been warned. And God heard their groaning. Oh, you be thankful that you have been brought into the house of God. You be thankful that the Lord is hedging up your way. You be thankful that God is in control. All events at his command, not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit. Or be very careful about groaning against God, against God's ways, against God's teaching, against God's correction, against God's chastening. And God heard their groaning. And yet the Lord's dear people, who long to be right, who long to know the Spirit's work within, who long for the oil of his grace, who long to be found in Christ Jesus, washed in his precious blood, clothed upon in his righteousness, accepted in the Beloved, who groan in their longing that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And God heard their groaning. Oh, these groaning souls who long to know the Lord Jesus. Later on we read, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And God heard their groaning. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £785, for which we would be very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, as Mr. Hope is too unwell to come. and Mr. Warren will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. God willing, Mum's funeral will be on Wednesday at 11 o'clock, and Mr. Pack will, God willing, take the service. And there will be a church meeting on the 8th of February after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn 462.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.